Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. 7 o'clock on the dot. Welcome to it. A weekend without Broncos football. Did you enjoy it? Did you avoid football altogether? Did you enjoy watching good football?
Like the Arizona Cardinals, where they have a defensive coach that's really putting some stuff together.
Good.
They did win again.
Yes, we're back.
they shut down Danny Dimes there, right?
Yeah.
Shut down Quads.
I was listening to Tannenbaum coming in today, and he's like, hey, listen, Arizona's defense is just a lot better than the Giants' defense. I was like, oh, Lord, don't tell me that. Really playing well. Scoring a lot of goals, Mike.
As a team, we're getting tall.
He might get another shot. Don't be surprised if he gets another shot.
Mike, I really don't care.
Oh, yeah, you do. You want another shot at it. Come on.
It's mind-boggling.
there you go. The Library of Vance Joseph cuts for your
Mike,
enjoyment.
Do we have to play better football?
The thing about that, which is interesting, Mike, is that, like, his tenure here will... His 2 years here will be looked upon a lot differently if this team, say for instance, goes 2-14 or 3-13 or even 4-12.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because people will look at it going, you know what? It wasn't VJ's fault. It was Elway's fault. It was the roster fault. It was the... Because you've said this now for quite some time, and I completely adhere to Kenny, your philosophy. The great thing about these moves and the great thing about what you did this offseason with Fangio and with Scangarello and with Ed Donatell and with, you know, with all the Mike Munchak, all the changes you made is this is 100% saying it's no longer coaching.
We will know one way or another.
We'll know.
Yeah.
And right now it looks, you know, from the outside looking in, I mean, you played a Kansas City team that couldn't stop a nosebleed defensively. And you sent their guys to Pro Bowls on Thursday night in a home game where you have a decided advantage of nobody practices. Their quarterback gets hurt. They've got five starters out of their whole left side of their offensive line is backups. Their left tackle, their left guard, backups. We got five starters out. That's what 23% of their roster is not starting. They lose their starting quarterback. They haven't been able to stop anything in 2 weeks. They haven't stopped the running game, and they thunder punched you right in the freaking jaw, and you went wompy kneed. I think that's a technical term, wompy kneed.
Wompy kneed?
Yeah, you know when your knees get wompy? You kind of stumble around a little bit?
I know wobbly kneed, but I never heard of wompy.
Wompy kneed. Like wompy jawed. Can you get wompy jawed?
I guess
I don't even know what wompy
is. I've never heard wompy before. This is entirely new jargon for me. I like it.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're stumbling around. Why wompy kneed?
For once, I might actually steal something from you.
I get crazy. You don't have, I am not, first off, I am not your intellectual property. So if you steal it from me.
I have to give you full credit all the time.
Right. Or there could be lawsuits.
That's right. Cease and desist.
Yes.
Some people learning what that's all about. It's probably good that Vance isn't here anymore. Joe Woods isn't here anymore. You still have some holdouts. You still have that little small pocket out there in Broncos country. I saw it on social media. Well, clearly Vic Fangio's in over his head. Look at all the rookie coaching mistakes he's making. And look at Rich Scangarello's offense. And so you still have those holdouts out there that still are just clinging to the idea that, well, we got another bad coaching staff. Hey, we got to go get another new coaching staff. Hey, is John Harbaugh going to be, or Jim Harbaugh going to be available? All that kind of stuff. But it's dwindling. People get it. And that's why you don't want to have to go through it, but it's probably for the best, the long-term health of the franchise. If you want this thing to really get turned around, it's for the best that this coaching staff is showing that it really wasn't coaching. It's for the best that you have a marquee matchup on Thursday night that we all put so much into as being a potential, you know, season defining, organization defining moment, and to have them poop in their hats like they did.
Right.
Good. You know why? Because it brushes, you know, it all the corners get brushed clean.
Yeah.
Isn't there a line you use?
Gotta sweep the corners.
Gotta sweep the corners.
Yeah.
The corners have been swept clean. This thing has been laid bare. Total clarity. We know what the issue is. Good. Now let's go fix it.
We're living in a world of suck.
Starting with moving that guy.
Well, yeah, but therein lies the problem. Like, you say go fix it, and everybody says, well, you gotta point to the quarterback, you gotta this, that, and the other, and I get all that, Mike, but there are so many issues that you have on this roster right now. Come on. I mean, here's a team that you faced in Kansas City that couldn't get off a block, couldn't defend the run, couldn't do anything up front, and you made them look like superstars. You tried to send Frank Clark to the Pro Bowl single-handedly. You tried to send, and there's a couple guys I never even heard of. Like, they're just like batting down passes and knocking your quarterback around. You gave up 9 sacks. And let me just say this, and I know I said this after the game, and I, you know, it's funny because you think about things, you know, you have a minute to stew, and sometimes as you stew, you know, you calm down and say, hey, it's not that bad, right? And, you know, and you try to find the silver lining. I'm more pissed now than I was then. I mean, like, you give up 9 sacks in this league, and it's not just that your offensive line sucks. It's your scheme sucks. Your players don't know what they're doing. Your running backs suck. Your tight end sucks. And your coaching staff sucks. You give up 9 sacks, you suck. That's what it comes down to. It means you don't know from a play calling standpoint, you don't know how to protect your guys. When your guys can't block people, you better learn how to protect them through play calling, through what you're doing. Like when those happen, all levels are awful and there's no getting around it.
Okay. And I want to go into an angle here that hasn't been discussed. It's just been taken on, I guess, assumption, faith, but after what you just said, maybe we need to talk about it. After what you've seen thus far, are you convinced Vic Fangio and this staff is the right staff to turn this thing around? That's next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank,
banking for good.
You said it on Friday, and it kind of rang a bell with me.
Uh-huh.
And you just said it again, and it just went ding-a-ling-a-ling again. Because everything about this season has been taken on faith and assumption that, yeah, Vic Fangio knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Vic Fangio is ready for his first head coaching opportunity. And
right.
You know, seems to be up to the task. And of course, then you add in veteran coaches like Ed Donatell and Hey, of course, Mike Bunchak, right? Goes without saying. Yeah, Rich Scangarello and the offense has been a work in progress, but you know, it's not wrinkles. It's you know, it's the lack of talent. It's number 72. It's
right.
You know, it's Flacco. So the coaching staff itself has kind of been able to avoid any real criticism and scrutiny. But when now you've said a couple times, hey, if your quarterback is getting sacked nine times, that is bad coaching. All right, so I'm reluctant to go too deep into this because I don't want to give Bronco fans an opportunity to latch onto this and go, aha, see, there's nothing wrong with the team that John Elway has put together. It's all bad coaching again, and now we got to go get new coaches again. I don't want them to be able to latch onto it too much, but it is worth asking the question. Are you convinced that Vic Fangio's the guy, the right guy, and that this staff is the right staff?
I'm convinced that Vic Fangio's a good coach, and they're like any new coach, man. I don't care if you're 60 whatever years old, and there are going to be growing pains during the course of, you know, of trying to be that head coach slash coordinator slash guy that's running the show. I mean, there are always going to be some issues there, and you've got to work through those issues. Same thing like getting a first-time play caller. There are going to be issues there. What I'm telling you, Mike, is that when you give up nine sacks, you're not putting your players in position. You're not staying. And I get that, you know, I get that you feel like you were down by 100, but remember, it was 20-6 most of that, you know, you kicked off at halftime. It was 20-6. It was without Patrick Mahomes, right? So it was a very reachable game. I mean, that last time I checked, that's a two-score game. So it's very reachable. And, you know, you have got to be able to run the ball, to set up your play action, to give your guys an opportunity to, you know, to give your guys an opportunity to be aggressive, to take the battle to that defensive line. Now, I will say this, you know, doesn't mean that those guys understand up front how to get that done. And we know 72 doesn't understand how to get that done, right? Understand how to take advantage of when plays are called, where you can be aggressive, where you can change your set, he hasn't changed his set in 3 years. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. But the point being is that as a play caller, man, you have got to say, okay, guys, here's the deal. We can't block them right now. So we have to change what we're doing midstream. And I think that, I think that's a legitimate criticism. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying that's a legitimate criticism. You know, there's a lot of people say, hey, after the first 15, you know, Wrinkles has had a tough time after the first 15. And you have to be able to adjust on the fly what people are giving you, what people are doing to you. And you have to be able to come up with, all right, here's our adjustment to the adjustment. And that's the cat and mouse game or the chess game or however you want to describe it that goes on a day-to-day basis on Sundays.
But don't you have to have the personnel to do that? If you are a good scripter of the first 15, you can take whatever deficiencies you have and sort of
hide them. Yeah.
But then after the first 15, after the first couple drives, after a chance for the other coaches to look at you know, still shots and stuff on their tablets and everything, now all of a sudden, the secrets aren't secret anymore. Now it just comes down to, do you have the personnel to execute?
Well, that's where you
have. And they don't.
Right. They don't. There's no question about that. But that's where you have to continue to come up with, you know, come up with concepts or come up with ideas. But more than concepts and ideas, and you have to come up with a plan to protect your guys. Like if you know, I'm having this conversation with Kyle Shanahan when I called the Rams 49ers game. Kyle Shanahan was down to his fourth and fifth offensive tackles. They lost their two starters and they lost their swing tackle in training camp. So they're down to their first, or their fourth and their fifth offensive tackles. Shanahan told me I didn't even know these guys' names 2 weeks into camp. I didn't know who they were. And these are our starters. And he said, so I have to do a great job of play calling and protecting. And I have to sell my guys. I go, my receivers are going to be asked to chip. My wide receivers are going to be asked to stay in and chip before they go out on routes. And what I have to do as a coach is sell them on, if you do this for me, here's a play action that I've created off of this that's going to get you a wide open target in the flat, you know, that you might be able to break it for a big game. Like, this is the concept for us to win. And so if you will sell out for me, it's like the one thing that impressed me more than anything else about meeting with Kyle is it's not only what we're going to do, but it's why we're going to do it. And here is how at the end it's going to benefit us or benefit you as a player. If you give me this wide receiving core, I'm going to get you this at some point in the game. And I think you get such buy-in that way. So in the midst of a game, if you're like, hey guys, right now we can't block them, but here's what we can do. We can't line up and block them 5-on-5. We're getting our asses kicked. All right. So here's what we're going to do. And this is going to be the plan going forward. We can't run on the inside. Here's how we're going to use our receivers to crack the edge, get guys outside, you know, and we're going to create a downhill outside running game through these kind of concepts. Here's what we're going to do from a protection standpoint. Right now we're having trouble with this receiver. You're going to motion across. You're going to stay in 1,001, 1,002. Then we're going to release you. Like these are the things that have to go on during a course of a game. And when you're giving up multiple sacks like that, you as a coaching staff, you know your guys can't block them. So to do the same thing over and over again is, that's insanity. You have to fix it.
All right. Well, then again, at the risk of giving more oxygen to the blame the coaches no matter what crowd, we all know that Wrinkles, Rich Gangarello, has very little experience when it comes to running an offense and calling an offense. All right, you give Kyle Shanahan this offense. What's different? How much better is it? Or is it very little difference?
No, I think
Kyle Shanahan with this offense. This offensive line, this quarterback, this receiving group, this rookie tight end, how much different is it?
I think you still lack the requisite talent. But remember, last year, Kyle Shanahan, they only won 4 games last year, San Francisco. But they were decimated. Injuries, all their running backs were hurt. All their wide receivers were hurt. They were down to their fourth and fifth wide receivers. Offensive linemen out. And starting their third, not their first string quarterback, not their second string quarterback, starting their third string quarterback and still found a way to put up offensive numbers. Now, their defense was decimated by injuries too. Their defense was awful last year. So, do I think it would look better? Heck yeah, I think it would. But, you know, again, he's been calling plays in this league for a decade plus.
Okay, but what you just did was you just lent a little credence to the idea that maybe it's not the talent.
No, the talent is one. If you got a 3-tier, you know, system, it's talent's the problem number one and problem number two.
Did it take just one performance for this guy to jump to the head of the pack when it comes to the MVP talk in the NFL? Four Down Territory is next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
first down.
Left side, a wide receiver screen at T.Y. Touchdown, I.N.D.Y. Touchdown, T.Y. Hilton. A two-yard strike from Jacoby Brissett. And the Colts find pay dirt again. And they now lead it 13-6 with a minute 49 to go in the first half.
Colts radio. So for all the talk about Deshaun Watson and what he's doing and, you know, is he a potential MVP candidate? Guess who flat out outplayed him yesterday? Jacoby Brissett. A khaki pants quarterback, by the way. Third rounder out of North Carolina State. Who all he has done this year is complete 65% of his passes for 14 touchdowns and only three picks. Admit it. When you looked at the schedule and you saw the Broncos playing the Colts and you saw that Andrew Luck was retiring, you all of a sudden looked at that game differently, right?
Correct.
But now how do you look at it?
Well, do I look at it as Jacoby Brissett is really good or the Broncos just stink? A little bit of both?
Maybe both.
Speaking of other MVP candidates, Jacoby Brissett, Russell Wilson, how about Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
Almost a khaki pants quarterback.
He's actually closer to a khaki pants quarterback than he is to that coveted 1 through 19 range. And by the way, he will never see the fifth-year option either.
Meaning what? You think he'll get paid before then?
Of course. Of course. I mean, these teams are falling all over themselves to extend their quarterbacks early. Philly did it with Carson Wentz. How'd that look last night?
Dak Prescott made a statement last night. Maybe his statement was, wherever you pay Carson Wentz, up my pay by a little bit.
Maybe. Dak Prescott, khaki pants. Teddy Bridgewater, khaki pants.
That's amazing.
Jimmy Garoppolo, khaki pants. They're all over the place.
Right.
Just proof. Don't give me these 30-year studies. Come on. What's happening now? Okay? The league is changing. College football's changing. The way we evaluate these quarterbacks, changing. Don't give me some 30-year study. Come on. Well, we'd be a little current. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Snap, Rodgers, deep drop. Steps up, loft. Right side for Aaron Jones. He's got it. Touchdown, Green Bay. A spinning grab by Aaron Jones. Right corner of the end zone. And they beat Nicholas Murrow, the linebacker. 21-yard touchdown.
Packers radio. Up until this point, the Packers have been winning games, but they've been doing it with a really good improved defense and, you know, just enough offense. And there's just been this lingering sense that, you know, hey, when are we going to start to see the real Aaron Rodgers? When is Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur going to get on the same page? Wow. How about the game that Aaron Rodgers had yesterday as he threw for five touchdowns and ran for another six touchdowns?
Relax.
For Aaron Rodgers. Did all of a sudden with one performance, did he vault to the head of the class when it comes to MVP talk?
I don't know. I was thinking more like he and Matt LaFleur became like stepbrothers. Did we just become best friends, right? Do you like to do karate, you know? So much more room for activities. I think they're going to have room together now.
Best buds, huh?
Best buds. Like you and, who was the punter that you were best friends with? The Syracuse
Riley
guy.
Dixon.
Riley Dixon. Where's Riley Dixon now?
I think he's with the Giants, isn't he? And Russell Okuna and I are very good friends, too.
Well, that's right, because you cordially invited him.
I did indeed.
That was ridiculous. I wish you people would have been there. Russell,
yeah.
I would like
yeah,
to...
That's one I'd like to
what
have.
What do you mean, you think?
That's yeah. one I'd like to have back.
Is Russell.
Really, that was one as soon as it left my mouth, right. I'm like, oh,
Russell,
man.
Mike Evans from 104.3 The Fan. You know, I'd like to cordially invite you to...
Yeah. That's how I am. I'm class. I'm high class.
You are.
I am.
You are all class.
I am all class.
And go back to the locker room and look up cordially. And get that on my Google search, cordially.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
You know I'm going to say something. I definitely said a little what I had to say between me and them. It felt great, man, just to Marcus run down the sideline, then Marlon scoop that big fumble recovery up and score. That's a good way to close the game.
How about Earl Thomas? What a triumphant return to Seattle for Earl Thomas. The game you worked yesterday, Baltimore and Seattle, as Baltimore with a very, all three phases performance in knocking off the Seahawks in Seattle, one of the toughest places to play. Just where is your, I guess, level of impressed with the Ravens? Are you looking at the Ravens now as a team that could be a legitimate AFC championship contender?
Yeah, they have a legit formula. They know, you know, they have an identity. They know exactly who they are, how they're going to win. And I tell you what, uniqueness, they have a uniqueness in their running game, Mike, that's where they're setting themselves apart. And from a number count standpoint, with their motions and the guys they have and their tight ends and everybody else, they get you locked into one phase of defense or one formation set, and then they end up getting, you know, these, with their quarterback running, they end up getting this, you know, 4-on-6 or 7-on-5 type of number count advantages in the running game, and they just blast people. And then defensively, Wink Martindale, who was here being the linebackers coach, he just has this philosophy. He's this gunslinger type of dude, but he just has this philosophy, man. We're going to play man. When it's critical situation, we're zero. We're just bringing everybody. We're bringing the house and trust that we can play man behind it. And we're going to play aggressive. And if we lose, we're going to lose swinging. We're going to take our shots. So I love their attitude. I love their aggressiveness. I love the way they approach the game. Yeah, they're a legit AFC contender.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
For the people, we're going to pay them.
Well, I'm going to pay everybody.
I may be calling on my friends.
Oh, man. Was Zach by in Dallas this weekend?
You're funny.
There's Jerry. After the Cowboys come off the mat and hammer Philadelphia, an impressive win by Dallas. And, Mark, when you look at the most disappointing teams in the NFL this season so far,
mm-hmm.
would Philadelphia be at the top of the list?
Got to be, right?
At 3-4?
Got to be one of the...
After Doug Peterson came out and said, we're going to beat the Cowboys.
Yeah. And then he backed off the statement.
Yeah,
and,
well...
They have got to be, you look at them personnel wise, everybody thought they were going to be really good, great offensive line, best offensive line in football, you know, blah, 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 blah. There's a team that just gets itself way out of balance, they have some issues. You know, they're enamored by throwing the ball. They're enamored by talent outside. They're enamored by all that stuff. And they get themselves out of sync, and they just got bullied in that game last night. So, that's got to be one of the most disappointing football teams.
And the Chargers, they are 2-5, all five of their losses by a touchdown or less. So,
and one of the Broncos wins.
And one of the Broncos wins, correct. So, is Anthony Lynn in trouble? I mean, you talk about coaches. Look, we know there are going to be 6 or 7 coaches fired every year. It happens. Could he be one of them?
No, come on. They were a playoff team last year.
I know.
They've had a bunch of injuries. No, he's not. He's not in trouble.
You think he's safe?
Yeah. See, he's in trouble. Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn's in trouble.
Oh, my goodness.
Dan Quinn's in trouble.
Two, not one, but two dreaded votes of confidence.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think a coach has ever gotten three, has he? That would be an NFL record if he got three votes of confidence from Arthur Blank.
After two, you get fired, and then you get the vote of, hey, he's a great guy, just, you know.
Time for a change. Got to go in a different direction.
Yeah, different direction, got to make a change.
They never recovered from the Super Bowl. They never recovered from that.
Letting that thing.
I love Tom Brady!
28-3. They never recovered from it.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
You're right.
They never recovered. No matter what he tried, you know, all the clocks said now, time is now. All the little things he tried.
All the little tricks.
Doesn't matter. never going to be able to get the stench of 28-3 off. That's why they got to move on. I like Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn probably won't be unemployed for long, but that was broken. Whatever he's trying to do there was broken on that day.
Broke the backs of the organization.
Broke the backs. Time to move on. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, tells us when and if Emmanuel Sanders will be dealt. That's next. Time now to welcome in our Denver 7 insider, the one and only Troy Rank. He's presented by Tranny Law. Troy, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Ah, Troy, we're doing good. Give us the latest on Emmanuel Sanders. How much longer is he going to be a part of this team? Are they going to get this trade done?
Well, I mean, I would sense he would still play this week, but, you know, the deadline's next Tuesday, so a week from tomorrow. I mean, all the signs point to him being moved. You got four teams that need receivers, at least four: Niners, Patriots, Packers, Panthers. He could be an upgrade or at least help in all those situations. Mohamed Sanu is going to be available from Atlanta. And I imagine they're going to start moving guys like Sanu and Vic Beasley. So, but I would think that he's probably played his last home game in Denver. He would play in this Colts game, and then you kind of move on. They're trying to get a three. Last year they got a four for Demaryius. Sanders is older. He's 32, coming off multiple surgeries. But, you know, he's a tough guy. Puts it out there on Sunday. He plays well. You know, Emmanuel's been a little frustrated. There's no denying that. You know, his last, three games, he's got seven catches for 69 yards, dealt with an injury. But, yeah, I just don't – it's hard to imagine as we sit here today that he would be a member of the team after the trade deadline.
Do you anticipate them also moving Chris Harris Jr.?
I don't right now. Things could change. That's a little different situation because they – you know, they don't really have depth there at all at that position. I mean, you're already playing a guy – you know, pulled off the street essentially in Harris at one corner, Devontae Harris. And, you know, Isaac Yiadom has struggled to the point where it's hard to get him on the field. So it's, you know, in Sanders' case, if you move him, you could argue you could clear a path for some younger guys you might want a longer look at, whether that's Deshaun Hamilton, Fred Brown, Juwan Winfrey. You know, if you move Chris, who are you creating a, you know, space for? Who do you want to see? So Chris is less likely, but the difference with Chris is, teams are so desperate for cornerback help, even more so than receiver. You know, if you get the right offer, of course he could be available. They will listen. They're open to listening now at 2 and 5. And remembering Chris and Emmanuel's situation, they're both going to be free agents. So that also figures into the equation. You could wait around and get the compensatory pick, or if you think you can get more similar right away for this year's draft and have it in hand, and, you know, they're open to listening, but I would still think at this point Sanders is much more likely to move than Harris.
What are they going to do? I mean, I told Mike today, if you give up 9 sacks in a game, your O-line stinks, your tight end stinks, your running backs stink, and your offensive coordinator stinks. So what are they going to do to solve this conundrum that is their group up front and their lack of protection of the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it was a horrible showing against a defense that hadn't played particularly well, frankly, especially against the run. I mean, they were going to use even using today as well. Players are off the report tomorrow to try to, you know, take a long look in the mirror and reassess. And, Vic Fangio told us on Friday they would consider some changes. Quarterback's not one of them. I just asked just to make sure, because that was one of the worst performances I've ever seen live by an offense. That reminded me of the Jacksonville game they won when Paxton Lynch started several years ago. But there could be personnel changes now that Juwan James, I expect him to be healthy, Mark. So you have the option at that point to bench Garrett Bowles. I mean, I would do it on principle just to make him watch, to send a message like, hey, you need to come over from the sideline here and watch. And even though Wilkinson didn't play well against the Chiefs, I would move him to left tackle. You just got to figure out who they are. What was so shocking, Mark, and you've played forever and you do the games as a broadcaster, there was no devil's advocate apparently in the game planning that, hey, if they blitz and sell out for the run, what is our counterpunch? No screens, no quick passes. It was like the boxer just stood in the middle of the ring and just kept taking shots to the jaw. I mean, like, what are you going to do to fight back? You know, and so what do? They need to figure out who they are offensively. And that, for me, is probably going to have to be a running team. You've got to find a way to get the ball out more quickly if teams are going to sell out to stop the run.
For those of us who want to see Drew Lock win, is it possible it could happen?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. And I think this season at 2-5, if it continues in this direction, you have to leave this year knowing at least what you have with Drew Lock, in my opinion. I think the most realistic time that he'll begin practicing this week, that is the plan for these IR guys. I don't think you would see Lock, you know, start until late November, early December, you know, where he could have a run of maybe four games where he starts. To put him out there now is not fair. You know, he's not eligible now, but to put him out there right away would not be fair to him either. If the line's still struggling and you're at Minnesota or you're at, you know, Buffalo, like, you got to be careful too. You don't just say, oh, I got to see him play. It's true. You do, but it's like when they used to call up Rockies pitchers, you don't bring them up at home against the Dodgers if you can avoid it. You try to set them up to pitch in San Diego where they can make some mistakes and have a chance. So I think most realistic for him would be end of November, early December, and because you'd want to see if the season again continues on this arc, what you have in him, because you might be in the market for drafting another quarterback if you're in the top five picks.
Yeah, you know, it's just interesting. You look at the lack of depth. We've talked about the lack of depth rearing its ugly head right now. But the decision making on top of that with Vic Fangio, looking back, and hindsight's always 20/20, but looking back, chasing points against the Kansas City Chiefs, going for two right off the bat when you've got a 6-0 lead. I mean, how much are we looking at this, and how are we being fair to Vic Fangio, or does he need a little bit more heat than he has gotten for some of the decisions that he has made?
Well, at times he looks like an inexperienced head coach. There's no doubt. The Chiefs game was remarkable in so many ways. A, because it was everything on the line and how poorly they played in primetime. But you're right, Mark. All of us watching, it wasn't second-guessing. It was first-guessing. Why chase points in the first quarter when afterward Vic was asked about it, and he said, analytics say that that's the right decision. I won't do it again until the fourth quarter. It was kind of like, well, you're the head coach. You can tell the analytics guy where to go with those decisions, frankly. And the fake punt just reeked of desperation. It just sent the message, like, we have no chance unless we start throwing out gimmicks. That play for me symbolized the night. Like, you have no trust in your offense, and you run arguably the worst fake punt I've ever seen since the Colts fake punt against the Patriots, 4 years ago.
Same guy, so, by the way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Vic's got to take responsibility for that. And he's not skirting that. I think part of it is he's learning to be a head coach. I do say this about Fangio. He seems to have the most realistic perspective of what they're going through from a roster standpoint. While he says, hey, we're going to get it better, we're going to get it quickly. To me, this is him in Chicago, you know, his first couple years in Chicago, recognizing that you got to put this defense in place, and we get this piece, and you look up like, hey, we're pretty darn good. He seems to, again, in my opinion, recognized the roster shortcomings, that some of these things can't be fixed right away because they just don't have the talent to fix it. But yeah, I think Vic would acknowledge he's got to get better. I mean, it's a brand new coaching staff, a brand new offensive coordinator, Scangarello, as you mentioned, he's got to get better. That was an embarrassing showing by anyone attached to that offense. So that's part of this you got to live with. But you can't just start changing everybody and anybody after, you know, 8 weeks. That's been the problem here, is just complete lack of continuity in coaching staff from four coordinators, three head coaches, and across the board. You end up with this island of misfit toys. The pieces don't fit. So, yeah, you get frustrated as fans, as you should, but you also have to understand you got to give some of this a little bit of time to mature and see. And it's hard in the NFL. It is hard. It's much harder. But, yeah, Vic didn't have a good night. No one on Thursday night had a good night.
All right, Troy, thank you. We'll talk to you again later in the week.
You got to guys see it.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, presented by Tranny Law.
An understatement. No one had a good night.
Nobody had a good night. That was as bad. I talked to a number of Bronco fans over the weekend, and the same kind of question I threw out was, where did that one rank? And they were hard-pressed to find one that felt worse. And it was because, I mean, there have been worse performances, or as close to worse performances, over the years. But because so much had been, you know, pointed to that game as being a perhaps signature moment, signature win, season-changing win, maybe organizational-changing win, and to have it all fall flat like that,
mm-hmm.
and to really, you know, like a slap in the face, you know, reveal this team, reveal this organization for what they are and where they're at right now was rough for a lot of people to face.
It's interesting, you know, I told you I got a text from a coach Thursday nights. I think coaches get done game planning and stuff, and they'll flip on that Thursday night football game and talking to some guys on the Baltimore staff and being out on the field and talking to some people on the Seattle staff. They're like, that was ugly. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, because that's a good point, because they know you're from here. So yeah. was there much of that this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, like, wow, that's on in the background, like not studying it, just kind of casual, like, wow, man.
Well, especially Baltimore.
Right.
I'm wondering, did what you heard that you can share off the record about, you know, was there a certain sense of, see, there's a reason why we moved on from Joe Flacco. Not surprised, that kind of thing.
No. There was no discussion of Flacco. Just like it was all like, wow, that was like, you know, again, nobody's breaking down the film or studying it. They just had it on in the background going, wow, that was a debacle the other night, huh? You know, knowing you're from Denver, you know, knowing that I played there. And again, it just looked bad. You know, it sounded bad. So, again, they're more picking my brain because they're like, I know you watched it. We didn't really watch it. It was just kind of on. So that was the conversations that I had. Like Brian Schottenheimer. Schottie was just like, whoa, what's going on? I didn't get to really watch it. I just saw the end result, you know, and saw a couple of highlights. What's going on over there? So that was the kind of, that was the kind of questions I was getting.
Well, okay. And it, you know, between, and I know when you go to work these games, you're there in your role as, you know, Fox football analyst,
right.
And the guys that you're talking to, you're talking about their teams and everything, but I'm just curious, in your travels around the NFL, both as an analyst and the time that you spend in studio, at FS1, you talk to guys in the hallway, in the cafeteria, all that stuff. What is the view of the Broncos and Elway, specifically Elway? Because we've hashed this out. We've debated this ad nauseum here in town. But I'm curious, in your travels around the NFL, all around the country, when the conversation of the Broncos comes up, what are folks saying about Elway?
I mean, nobody ever says, oh, Elway's this or Elway's that. Nobody talks about that. They talk about the Broncos. They talk generalities. And then they talk about, you know, you'll get questions about 72. Like, oof, that's like, I'll get those pointed, like, discussions. And just some of the draft, you know, some of the first rounders that haven't panned out. That's usually what, you know, if you get any of that kind of talk, those are the questions. And a lot of it is focused on with me because of my history. Like, I'll talk to a lot of GMs and stuff, and they'll ask me about, wow, you know, what's going on with their O-line? Like, that's not good. What's happening over there? But I get a lot of questions. I just get a lot of questions, as you know, during the course of traveling around, I get asked a ton of questions because everybody's O-line's struggling. Like, so I get, you know, I told you I had, the Bears asked me if I would consult this offseason, you know, for their stuff. As you know, because I've told you many times, you know, we did stuff with the Saints last offseason. So I get a lot of the questions like, let me pick your brain about in this day and age where we don't get to practice. This is another thing that makes Baltimore's offense. This is really an interesting point I made on the broadcast yesterday. It makes Baltimore's offense really hard to deal with. You've got this solely unique running game that is unique to only Baltimore. They're the only ones that run this. It's really an option football team, right? And you can't practice in pads against it. You don't get that opportunity. If you do go in pads, you go in pads for, what, 7 plays or 8 plays of 9-on-7? And that's it. And so you don't really ever get to feel those fits and to attack it the way you would, you know, that you would like to be able to attack it, because you're not allowed to in today's NFL. And so it makes it, you know, not only is it unique, but it makes it incredibly difficult to prepare for, because you don't ever actually get to put pads on anymore.
And there's something else I want to get into here. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. We'll get to question mark here in just a second. Hold on, Millennial Ben, because I know you want to play the drop.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.